listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:01 on ESPN 97.5, 737-803-776. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, but Mike wants to talk about the G League before we move on. What do you say, Mike?
Hey, guys. I'm a little bit ignorant to the G League, so I'm trying to figure it out a bit. You guys are saying so you have to be 1 year removed from high school in order to get into the NBA. So if they go into the G League, a couple things. A, are they affiliated with a specific team, as in ownership, like you would see from a minor league program? And then two, once they're done with that 1 year, what happens to them? Do they fall into the sort of a free agency type portal, or do they go back out and then back in through the draft?
They're assigned a team, and then they become draft eligible.
Yep.
So Jalen Green signed for $500K. He is the latest high school star to do this. He will, once his G League season is over, he'll become a draft eligible prospect.
So he can go in currently. Oh, I guess into the G League more like a, is it similar to like a free agency that you can, you're free to sign with any team, and no, it's just who's going to make you the best offer?
I think no, the G League as a whole signs them, and then he will be assigned to a specific team.
But
I believe
if you don't have an affiliation, no.
Yeah, but he doesn't sign with a specific, like he can't go to the Rio Grande Vipers because they're offering him more money.
They offer that much money
for certain high school prospects?
500K.
He got 500K. Another kid got 250.
See, that's the way to do it. If you're not going to have, if a kid doesn't care about college at all, and you know that, and they don't want to be there, then this is so much better. You open up a scholarship spot for someone else. The kid gets to go do what he wants to do. It's a win-win across the board. And the NBA can start to develop. Because the big concern used to be, and it was a legit concern, that high school players were coming into the NBA and they just weren't remotely ready. They weren't physically grown. They weren't physically, they weren't ready from a developmental standpoint. And the G League is a great developmental option for young players instead of going freshman year. I think there's a lot to be gained freshman year of college. Don't get me wrong. It would be better probably than being in the G League in terms of level of competition for some of them. But if you don't want to go to class, if college really isn't for you, because college isn't going to be for everyone. Right. I mean, it's
that's what baseball does.
Not. Yeah, baseball does it. Why not give them that option?
And to answer Mike's question, because he said it when I had him pulled down.
When they pull up, well, yeah. Okay.
Where they're going to put Jalen Green, he said how they're going to sign him. He's going to be part of a team that's kind of featuring this type of deal. Like him and another player, Isaiah Todd, will be on the G League team in L.A. So this will be a specific team for this type of deal where young high school prospects can play together, I guess. I don't know how many they're going to have to fill out a roster, but Green and Todd will be on one specific team because this will be a development program for those players. So I guess if they can get 12 or how many a roster will be of kids like this, they'll throw them all in the same roster and let them go play for a year against the other G League teams. So just like your the XFL had their roster, that ninth team or whatever, where it was just players who were can be pulled if guys get hurt, this will be something like that. Because they're all going to be trying to do the same thing, develop in that 1 year before they get to the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Tyler wants to get in here. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I was calling in. Dale hit me on the head. sorry, Dale. They kind of hit the nail on the head. They're going to form similar to like a travel team. I don't remember exactly where I heard it, but they're all going to be on the same team. They're going to have into another team, and they're actually not going to play a normal schedule. They're going to give them a little bit more rest, and they're going to travel. Of course, I don't know, you know, with all the COVID and everything, how they're going to do it or when they plan on starting it. But essentially, it's going to be a developmental team, kind of like the, you know, they'll schedule a team that doesn't have a game, and then they'll go off to another team that doesn't have a game. But I don't believe they're going to be in the standings for the G League, just kind of like a developmental thing. I think it'd be really good, man. There's a lot of guys that just go to NCAA one and done. I mean, you could have a legit G League or, you know, a legit team of prospects play another G League team, and let's say they blow them out of the gym by 40. You know, that creates a little bit of urgency for fans to maybe turn on NBA TV and, you know, watch the latest prospects go out there and ball out. But y'all take it easy, guys.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, the article.
That would be interesting.
The article here says they'll probably play about 10 to 12 games that wouldn't count in the standings. So like you said, they wouldn't be a full G League schedule because they're high school kids or whatever. So not used to that type of thing. It looks like Sam Mitchell's one of the guys expect to be potentially coaching that team. So, yeah, it's the NBA's way of trying to figure out if these guys are pro prospects against at least grown men, and then teams will be able to draft them after the year.
Well, see, this is they'd all be freshmen. It would be interesting to see how they competed against a Kentucky or a Kansas or a Duke.
Yeah, I wonder if the NCAA wants any part of that.
No, I would think
not. Well, but you know what? You can play as a school. You can play an exhibition game against anybody you want.
Yeah, but the problem is you're basically advertising for your players to go to a different place and get paid.
That
wouldn't make any sense for them to be
that
part
is true.
Of that.
You know what this date is? 2007.
June 10th, 2007. Well, it would have been baseball season, certainly. Is it a baseball type?
It is not. The last episode of The Sopranos.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So Darren Ravel tweeted, Twitter only had roughly 50,000 users on this day in 2007. But imagine what...
That was a simpler time.
What the topic... How would Twitter have responded to The Sopranos final episode?
So, you know, it's funny that you say that because one of my... That's right when I was being told that I was going to be pulled off the air at 610 for their provision called after you had left. And 610, they wanted to get me to re-up my contract right then. And I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And they invoked called pay to play where they said, okay, we're going to pay you. You won't get any advertising dollars or anything. We're going to pay you not to do anything. And we're going to run out your contract. And then we're going to run you out 6 months after that. And so they were going to try to keep me off the air for 10 or 11 months. And I would have got paid for 4 of those months, not the other 6. So anyway, I remember they told me that right before our family vacation where we had just gotten back from the Golden Nugget. We were promoting a new card movie or poker movie that had been shot primarily at the Golden Nugget. So we got back, they called me in, and I had to go meet with Bill Van Rysdam at the time. And because I remember all this as around, you know how major sporting events, you know things that happen in your life around major events. Sopranos' final episode was a major event because I blogged about it in the Z Report and stuff like that. And I had a tremendous writing about that I remember I was in Colorado writing on a computer about the Sopranos' final episode and being pulled off the radio. And so I had this huge that's before Twitter. Like now if I did it, I don't even know what the readership would be. 10% maybe. But at that time before mm-hmm. Twitter was a bit, because Twitter wasn't even a thing to me.
No.
In 2007.
50,000.
Yeah, in 2007 people would flock. Like I had a bunch of people who would go to the blog and go find that. Now you would, everything would be done through Twitter. I mean, you might make a blog post, but you would promote it.
I joined in July 2010.
I was where did I find that? 2008, I think, for me.
And I was still able to find at John Granato, which you probably, and you were.
I joined February 2009.
Nine.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem finding my name.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem finding my name either, which is.
Dell couldn't find his.
No.
Somebody had Dell
Olale. Really? Somebody else had Dell Olale.
Somebody had Dell V1, and so he had to take Dell V2.
No, that's not the story.
That is the story.
That's what it
is. I
would know why I chose Dell V2, so no. I've already told that story before. It's not that interesting why I did it. So
Dell versus two cup, two chicks, one cup? No?
No, that's not the reason.
What the hell?
What's the matter with you?
What?
That's not the reason.
What was it?
I told you already. I told you like a month ago. Like,
I know.
Not
I want to be uninterested again.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to do that then.
Okay.
Why would I tell the story for you to go, yeah, I remember. Wasn't that interesting? Again, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yep. The bench. Breaking news. That's right. That's what we do here. We break news, okay? Mark Berman, suck on that.
What? Why does he have to suck on anything?
I'm not asking anyone to do that.
I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong. I'm just saying, we broke the story. Now, he said it, too. He said, as first reported. All right?
He credited the bench?
He did. Well, he credited me, not you.
No. Well, the bench, I was really talking about Lance. I don't consider myself part of this show.
You're the bench. Oh, yeah.
I'd rather not, because when they go,
yeah,
today on ESPN 97.5, the bench said this, and they've been suspended. I don't want to be part of it, to be honest with you. I'm disassociating myself. Much like Reggie Bush is now back to being with USC, no longer disassociated. I want to be on the disassociated list.
So apparently, in 10 years, you have to be on the disassociation list for 10 years?
I call it the OJ list, but sure.
It's the disassociation list, okay? And it's coming up, and they're going to reassociate with him. They're going to put Reggie Bush back in their... Well, he can be part of the family again.
Is the jersey going to go back up in the Coliseum or go up in the Coliseum? Will his Heisman Trophy be presented?
That's the only Heisman Trophy that's not around.
Is the OJ one still around?
I believe so. Did they pull OJ's Heisman? Mm. I don't know. I think the only one that is vacant is Reggie Bush's.
That is saying something.
Yeah. That it's a... Well, OJ did not guilty.
OJ didn't commit an NCAA violation.
Right, right. So
the school gets one and the person gets one.
Yes,
right. The school had, you know, OJ's Heisman's were sold, but I'm going to find out.
I'm looking at their website right now, USCTrojans.com. There is a page for OJ Simpson. They have a list of all their Heisman Trophy winners. Mike Garrett, O.J. Simpson, Charles White, Marcus Allen, Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, and guess who's not there?
Reggie.
So O.J. is mentioned. They don't disavow knowledge of O.J.
Well, they shouldn't.
But Reggie committed NCAA violation, so he had to go.
Gotta go.
But apparently, he will have his page very soon.
Yeah, he's going to have his page back. But no, the Heisman Committee vacated his Heisman.
The Heisman Committee vacated?
Yes, he's
he's the only one to commit a violation to win a Heisman?
I guess, yeah. I believe his Heisman was pulled by the Heisman Committee, not by USC.
If you're USC, you probably have that Heisman stored someplace.
If I'm not mistaken.
You ignore what the Heisman Committee said, put it back in your Hall of Champions. You do that. Because Reggie Bush was part of USC's last... turn at relevance. Now, Clay Helton had a couple years where they went to New Year's Six games, but he was a huge part of their relevance, and that was back in 2005. You acknowledge him even if the Heisman Trophy was like, Heisman Trophy Committee's like, nah, we're not talking about that.
He had to give it back or else it was going to be taken away.
Did they take away USC's?
Reggie Bush, I don't know. I mean, it's unclear whether or not I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. It's 8:14 ESPN 97.5. Lance, time to talk some insurance.
TGS Insurance helps you find more money. And this might be a time where you really need to cut costs. But cutting costs shouldn't mean cutting service all the time. I know that many times people have to make cuts and you lose out on things that you once had. But that's not the case with homeowners insurance. You can get A-rated insurance for, in many cases, $900 less than what you're used to paying on an annual basis. And that's the general savings for someone who uses TGS Insurance. What you do is you text the word money to 232323. They will respond, ask you your address. You type it back, and you are going to get a firm quote within seconds. The entire process takes about 15 seconds to get a homeowner's insurance quote that is a firm quote, and you can compare it against what you're paying. And if you have already prepaid your entire homeowner's insurance, that is not a contract. You can cancel today. Switch over to TGS Insurance, their insurance provider they find for you, and that other company that was insuring you will cut you a check for the prorated amount that you have coming back to you. It is that simple. TGSinsurance.com, that's TGSinsurance.com. Text money to
23-23-23. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, 2005 is vacated on the Heisman website. No, there was no winner that year. No winner. So Reggie Bush. Now, USC will recognize him. And I don't know if they'll put his Heisman Trophy back up there. I don't know if they had. They had to give it back, too. I don't know. Reggie had to give his back. He had to forfeit it.
Jackie says, didn't Juice go to prison for trying to steal his back, or was that other memorabilia?
No, that was other memorabilia.
It was other memorabilia, yes. Yeah, he sold his, but it was other memorabilia he tried to get back, correct?
Yeah. So Mike D'Antoni came out and has said, and you know, we talked about this yesterday, expanding his rotation. He's open to change from his usual rotation strategy, says the headline. Speaking on Tuesday with Kelly Eichel, the Athletic, the Rockets head coach was asked if he was open to using an expanded rotation when the season resumes due to the potential concerns over fitness and endurance. Hell yeah, if you want to be politically correct. But with Daryl and Data, with how we think gives us the best chance to win, it probably comes down to nine guys. So he says, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, P.J. Tucker, Robert Covington, Eric Gordon. Those five you're going to give a bunch of minutes to. Now, he does not mention the other guys. But I think I'm pretty sure that we know who the other guys. I guess we know. Well, it depends. I mean, you never know. He was giving a bunch of minutes to Daniel House, 30 a game. He was giving Jeff Green more minutes at 20. He lost 32 minutes with Capella. Ben McLemore was getting more minutes. That's another guy I heard. Daryl loves. Joel was going over a list of lottery picks that Daryl has picked up over the years. And that's just another guy, Ben McLemore, projects that didn't make it, but they had pedigree because they were, you know, big-time college players and they were top draft picks, but they didn't make it. That's another guy. Austin Rivers is going to get minutes. Green, House, McLemore, Rivers. That's the other four, more than likely. Damari Carroll was getting some minutes, but we'll see whether or not he continues to get any. And then if you want to have a big guy anytime, ever, Hartenstein, I guess, will get some.
I just don't see a big guy being a factor at all. If another team is big, you'll go even smaller to try to make them uncomfortable. They got comfortable with the small ball lineup.
Is that going to work over seven games?
Depends on the teams. I always feel like once you run up against the Lakers will figure it out. They'll figure out. They saw the mistakes they made in the past. I think a team over seven games.
Let's not forget the first time that they came out with the small ball lineup, they beat the Lakers right away.
Yeah, see, I thought the Lakers could have some issues because you don't just flip the switch on the way that you play basketball. It didn't work that way. It takes time, but once you see how. Once you have time to really attack the Rockets small ball, what I really think is interesting is that you're going to hit reset. You don't know how any of these guys are going to come out. You really don't. This is such a long time off from game basketball. You can be shooting around in a gym. You can be doing whatever. But that's not playing an NBA basketball game. And so I think you don't know where Eric Gordon is going to be as a shooter because that's a major, major. You don't know where Damari Carroll is going to be as a player. You don't know where Daniel House will be.
One of those guys. I know where how Russ will be. We've already heard how James is, right?
I think James is the guy but we don't know who's going to shoot the ball well. We could end up seeing a dreadful shooting in the NBA.
Well, which is why it makes it all the more important that Russell Westbrook continues to play the way he was not taking threes.
Yeah.
One three a game and driving to the basket and finishing or dishing to somebody for an open look. No, you're right. But here's the thing about the Rockets anyway, is Charlie was going over it. What do you think their three-point percentage is?
When they come back?
Oh, no, what do you think it has been over these last Mike D'Antoni years?
bet 35.
They're middle of the pack in the NBA. At best.
Yeah, no, it's a volume.
Yes, it's a value thing. Yeah. But they're not good shooters.
No, the Rockets...
And so they don't have to depend on being good shooters because they're going to take a boatload of
them.
Well, yeah. They never have been good shooters.
No, no, they are average shooters. They take more, and they have free throws on their side. The big... You think, well, how do they win? Because they go to the free throw line a ton with James, and he makes a high percentage.
Right.
Ta-da, end of story.
Well, and they just...
Threes and
they
freeze.
Feel like... It's right.
Threes
we'll trade you,
freeze.
Even though we're not making them. We'll grab some offensive rebounds, and we will continue to jack them up until you're like, holy crap, a barrage.
They don't care about where they fit in the landscape of the league. But they care about a number they want to get to.
Well, Joel was talking about J.J. Redick, and he was disappointed that they didn't get him. Danilo Gallinari was out there, and I was just, oh, man, that dude is
feels
perfect.
Like it would have been perfect for them.
Perfect for them. But yet he goes and he gets a Corey Brewer, and he gets a Michael Carter-Williams.
It never makes sense for that's the thing that's always been puzzling to me. Why are you getting guys that are card-carrying bad shooters?
I mean,
Daryl's a super smart guy with a system in place that benefits from having shooters. He doesn't go find the sharpshooters. It's always been something that's really puzzling to me. And I know the answer. The answer is these guys don't just shoot threes. We need certain guys to be able to run, get points in transition, defend, slash, because getting into the paint is very important for them as well. They want guys who can get into the paint and win off the dribble. But I just think, man, when you have James Harden, get yourself a Steve Kerr in your life.
Yeah.
Get yourself a J.J. Redick. Get yourself a sharpshooter.
Korver.
Yeah, Kyle Korver, somebody who is a known sharpshooter, have two of them
out there. But Joel did say something else that was interesting, and it is, and we saw this come to fruition with Dwight Howard, was that J.J. Redick was like, I don't know that I want to play for Daryl because he just looks at guys as assets, and I'll be there for a year, I'll settle my family in, and then he'll just trade me away.
You got to be a certain player because... I mean, look, it is the truth.
Well, and it is the truth. And you know what? What he gets a lot, the Carmelo Anthonys, the Michael Carter Williams, the Ben McLemores, guys who are like, I'll take the job.
Yeah. You got to be in a position that you're willing to do
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Eric Gordon was getting a real contract. Ryan Anderson got a real contract when he brought them in. But a lot of these guys are getting deals. And even if you get a real contract, I'd say that's a pretty real contract for Chris Paul, but he was still able to move Chris Paul. Daryl views he has one goal. His goal is to try to win an NBA championship, and he will tinker with the roster as without moving James as much as he can. But to that end, he's not going to have. It doesn't appear that he has the same human emotions that worry about. Well, I don't want this player to feel like look, this is my goal, and I'm trying to reach my goal. And these pieces are interchangeable, and that's how I'm going to do it.
And that's okay.
It's okay, but at some point, you're going to have people who say, I don't trust this organization. I don't trust that you're going to build from the ground
floor.
Dwight
made it public, and his agent, Chandler Parsons, has been public about that, about the uncaring nature of the Rockets organization. But you know what? We've got to win. And you know what? He almost got there. He almost got there with the 65-win team and almost put it all together, and then a hamstring happened. So, it's tough to say, sorry, it's an uncaring business, but sorry, it's an uncaring business. They players are assets, and players are movable and malleable, and you know what? So, tough tis nitties. That's what I say.
Dell, dump that.
Tough tis nitties. We're trying to win here. Okay? That's what we're trying to do.
I'm trying to. Everything else. Win, 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 win. I don't always agree with that. That's a fun thing
really?
In theory, but what happens is you have guys who you don't foster a sense of community. You don't foster a sense of we're all in this together.
Houston
Astros.
I want to pray.
Okay, which works better?
What?
Astros way or Rockets way?
Astros
build community. Those guys hugging on each other. I can show you pictures where they're all like with their arms around each other and heads in each other's laps and stuff like that.
You don't think we had to break some eggs to okay? Some guys had to go.
Which guys were that?
A lot of guys had to go. Yeah, the good ones.
Who?
Some good guys had to go.
Can you tell me some?
Yeah, Beltran had to go. Beat it.
That's
a good one. That's Ben McLemore.
What? You mean the first Beltran?
It's Carmelo, actually.
You mean the
yeah.
first Beltran departure or this most recent one?
This one.
After they won a World
this
Series.
This one. After, yeah. Guess what? Break it up. All right.
I feel like you would rather have J.J. Redick believing he could be here for 3 or 4 years and signing.
Trick him.
Than Ben McLemore.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? Here. Josh Redick. You're going to beat it. Colby Rasmus, out.
Josh Redick's
how
been
long
riding
Josh
for
Redick
a long
here?
Time.
Well, because he's had a four-year deal. Yeah,
exactly.
You screwed up and gave $13 million a year.
If J.J. Redick believed he could be here for 4 years, he might have signed it. Now you're dealing with Ben McLemore and Thabo Sebelosha.
Yeah, it's not in all seriousness, it's
remember
not good.
Remember the beat signing? Joe brought that up. I was like, oh, God, the beat.
Well, that's Daryl Strash's lottery tickets.
Right.
Cheap.
Well, that's the same. I mean, yeah, grab a guy that was a high pick that
but
sucked.
But then where are the guys that want to come and lock in? If they don't believe they're going to be here long term, if they don't have community that they buy into, having a locker room chemistry, having community, that is a real thing. It's a real thing. It bears fruit. Look at the Astros. Look at so many teams out there that have done it that way. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Now, it's a tremendous talent. It starts with talent, obviously. But when you have community and guys that those Rockets team with Yao and Tracy and John Berry and, you know, David Wesley, man, it wasn't a super talented team, but those guys really played together. They played hard for Van Gundy, and there was community inside that team. I just think that's something that is going to always be missing with the Rockets.
Didn't they end up losing by 40 to the Mavs in Game 7?
So what?
Yeah,
they weren't
sucks.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, what? And that's because they had that.
They were good friends, though.
I'd like to know your causation, your cause and effect. They liked each other too much, so they got blown out because they weren't
willing.
That's
fun. That's great. But they lost by 40.
Because they
beat
sucked
it.
And couldn't. They
that's
sucked
right.
that
we
day.
Need, that's right. We need guys' assets that are going
to
win.
To do it. You're
screw
arguing against your actual
fun,
opinion.
Fun. Yeah, everybody had fun. Everybody's doing this. Great.
Weren't you doing that yesterday?
40. Lost by 40.
Did they give him pizza? Did you get pizza from the Rockets?
Yes. Yes, I did get a pizza. No, I didn't get pizza. What if they send me a sandwich? I'm hungry. I mean, that'd be great.
What type of sandwich would you like from the Rockets?
Oh, gabagol.
A gabagol sandwich?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want any
broccoli? Never have one?
You don't have any broccoli rob either? You don't want any of that? You don't want any broccoli rob?
No.
No? What do you want?
Sausage
and peppers?
Put your order in. They're listening.
Sausage and peppers?
Yeah, what do you want? Oh.
Put your order in.
All
yeah.
right. 829 ESPN 97.5. I'm going to put my order in for some whiskey or vodka.
I can tell you this, Blackland Distillery, I wish I could just order it just like that and it would just drop it off my house. That would be amazing. Blackland Distillery, if you're going to be up in the Fort Worth area at any point or you had on plan on traveling north at all, you're in the car and you say, hey, we're going to drive up and take a family vacation at, you know, in Enid, Oklahoma, because maybe that's how y'all roll. Why don't you stop in at Blackland Distillery? Their location is open now. It opened up on June 6th, and you can go through the tastings. You can go through the spirits. It's a beautiful location. But they are a grain-to-glass distillery, meaning they work the entire process from start to finish. Less than 20% of the distilleries out there actually even do that. A lot of them bring in alcohol that is distilled by other outside distillers who all their whole job is to send that off to these other companies that add their touches. Well, the reason Blackland Distillery is so good and so distinctly original is that they go grain to glass. They take that extra effort to go through the processes that are high-end, elite processes to give you flavors that are going to blow you away with that creamy tobacco type of smooth feel and finish to their bourbon. And the rye is something that is extraordinary, and it's why they're so popular, that bourbon is. And I got to tell you, the vodka just won a Distiller's Award as well. Nice hint of sweetness on the back end of that vodka. Check them out for yourself. If your liquor store doesn't have it or your local restaurant, tell them that you would like to start, you would like to have Blackland Distillery being sold at that liquor store or restaurant, and you can experience it for yourself. It's blacklanddistillery.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 833 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
Crime Stopper foot hurts today.
It's not your crime.
You didn't stop any crime.
You need some CBD oil for that.
I should.
You should.
Get some, as a matter of fact.
No, because you're going to have rheumatism from that. Because, you know, once you stop that crime, once you, I mean, but you did it. It's what you did was altruistic.
Yeah.
Right? So
I feel like it was.
Is it altruistic to continue to talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to let people know.
What do you have to let people know
about?
He's
the Brian Williams of, right?
Well, okay. If you let
said
people
he was in
know,
that helicopter?
Yeah.
Right?
If you let people know, then maybe you can inspire them to stop crime.
Is it Bone Spurs? Can we call you Lance Bone Spurs? Or what's the big issue? What do
you
know?
Pretty much.
No, it healed poorly. Hmm. I shouldn't have been in a boot as long as I was because the foot got weak, or it didn't heal right, or I don't know. They just said, oh, yeah, this one's not going to go back to. They said, oh, you'll always be at like 85 or 90%.
Did you attack the therapy hard?
There wasn't a therapy that was given to me.
Huh.
They just said, hey, you need to get out of that boot. Your foot is really
atrophying.
Yeah, like you're going to have to build that thing back up. I'm like, yeah, but it hurts. Like, yeah, I know.
That's kind of how
power
it works.
Through it.
Yeah. And did you power through it?
Yeah, I did. Actually, when I was in Vancouver, we had a walk one day where we just walked all over the place. That's my thing about my wife. She loves to take a good hike, a good long walk.
That's what you're doing for vacation, right?
Yeah, we'll eventually go do some hiking or whatever. I just want to be in weather that doesn't feel like ass, like warm swamp ass. Like yesterday. Yeah, a little swamp ass. You were like, this swamp ass is great.
It's awesome. I thought it was great.
Did you... You a fan of swamp ass?
I don't care. I like it hot. Okay, wow. Some like it hot. I like it hot. Mm. She's like, with me, my wife.
What are you doing, Lance?
Now tighten that up, please.
So we went to the, we went to the Arboretum. I mean, like immediately, I was like, we're walking through.
And you said, this is amazing weather.
No, I said, I wish I was on my couch right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to hike. Not because of the weather. I just don't want to hike.
Oh, the weather. You like the
weather.
I don't
care about the weather.
That's how you know that you're Greek and Sicilian, because this is what you love. Although, I don't know. The weather might not be like
that. I'm Calabrese, but okay.
Yeah, you're a little disrespectful.
A little disrespectful.
What do you mean?
Calabrese.
No, what is that? That's Italian, right?
You insulted him a little bit.
You said Sicilian. It's not Sicilian.
I said Sicilian?
Yeah.
Oh, I just meant Italian.
Well, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, no. No, clearly. No.
Calabrese. You heard him.
Yeah.
You want to apologize?
You saw the little town we were from?
Yeah. All of John's family. I was doing Ancestry.com, and I gave up because everyone's from the same town for like 400, 500 years. I'm like, it's just going to be the same thing over and over.
The town was only made up of like 40 people.
That sounds like a lot.
It feels like, are y'all sure on that tree?
Yeah. How many branches are
there?
There's only two
everybody's
branches.
Everybody's from the same town? How big is this town?
Wasn't very big.
Oof.
Man, I feel like I hope it's just sons and daughters from two families.
Nope, you're my cousin and my sister.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day.
And that was Calabrese?
It's Calabrese. Yeah,
I'm going to pull up your family tree again. Keep going. Who can I get this time?
This should be the one year the rotation can be smaller without a long season to wear them out, assuming they're in shape after the 8-game regular season. That is kind of true.
Yeah.
You know what? As opposed to they're all worn down.
But that way of thinking is not. You're not taking into account guys actually are not going to be in this basketball shape, and they're more likely to have soft tissue.
I think
injuries.
You'll find that guys are going to be in great shape once the 8-game start.
But you don't. But you need. Well, it depends on how hard they attack the preseason.
Yeah. No, I think guys have been attacking it. I think they've known that they're coming back in there. Look at James. You know Russell Westbrook is a maniac.
I just think it's unlikely that.
Did you see he's doing a docuseries, though, on the Tulsa massacre, the 1921 Tulsa race massacre?
Yeah, one thing that's kind of been erased from American history.
Black Wall Street?
Black Wall Street.
I had never heard of that. I saw Everlast had that on an Instagram post.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? I've never heard of Black Wall Street.
Yeah, it became a thing. Well, some people heard of it. I was one of those people. If you watched Watchmen from HBO, that series that came out.
Was it any good?
I liked it quite a bit.
Okay.
That was the first scene from that show. Now, people know Watchmen, comic book, there was a movie about it. But this one, they did a reimagining. And the first scene, and really what the whole show was based on, was that Black Wall Street massacre where black people were being rounded up and killed. And I guess Russ will do – and he's from Oklahoma, and he said he didn't really know much about it. He's not from Oklahoma.
Yeah, right. But the 11 years he was there.
Yeah, he played there. And kind of inspired him to do this. So he'll be, I think, a producer on this particular doc.
I watched the the night before, I watched the Greensboro Four, the sit-in at the Woolworth counter.
Mm-hmm.
Documentary on that. You want to talk about holding firm? They started February 1st, and Woolworth didn't relent until July, almost August.
Mm.
Wow. I mean, it was holy crap. Talk about. And they came and every day they sat at the counter and it wouldn't serve them for months and months. And then when school was out, because it was A&T, North Carolina A&T was four students from North Carolina A&T. The high school students took over, and they went every day. And Woolworth still, and then they said, "Well, we knew that the school A&T was coming back, so I guess we're going to have to start serving." What? I mean, talk about that is just unbelievable.
That's how entrenched it is.
Yep. But that group. Actually, it had all calmed down. That group, that four, started nationwide to get rid of Jim Crow laws. Nationwide, it started protests all over the country. Wow. It's called February 1st, the Greensboro Four.
And I think people look at history and go, "Well, Rosa Parks was a known activist. It wasn't like just, you know what? I'm just going to sit in the back of this bus."
Mm-hmm.
It was, so when people take shots at quote unquote people who do this thing where they're activists and as if that's a negative. You think Rosa Parks just decided one day that this is what was going to happen? She was about that life, and that was what her particular thing to do. But it wasn't like that was the top of her head, and one day she said she had enough. It was part of a plan.
Yeah, and this was too. They had planned it out for a while, and they did it. And I was surprising that it was the first one. 1960 was the first time that they actually had active and it spread
people who think,
throughout the country.
That's why you got to know history, because people who think that they're doing things like, "I'm making a difference here with a hashtag," or they want cred, they want clout. Man, people who are actually taking – that's why you can say what you want about Colin Kaepernick, but he had to have an idea that he was risking his career. Muhammad Ali vacated a title and was put in jail. Like Muhammad Ali, that was those are serious. Woolworth, Rosa Parks, the people who have taken the substantial chances with career, with livelihood, with safety, potential health, potential jail time. I mean, there are people who have taken some tremendous, extraordinary risks. So while any of you are like taking your Instagram picture, like, "Look how important I am," man, think about people who really put it on the line. And it goes for, and that's for this, but also, you know, first responders, obviously, tremendous risk to run into fires, firefighters. I always think about that. People who are right now dealing with COVID patients in COVID wards who are very, very sick, and they have to get all, you know, in all their equipment that they have, the PPE equipment. Like, man, that takes some real balls to do all of that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So there was the first time they sat down at the counter, the four guys, there was a cop. They called the cops, and the cop from Woolworth came, and he's got his baton behind him, and he's banging his hand. He didn't hit him, but they said, "We thought it was on. We thought."
Where'd you see this?
It's on Netflix.
And what's it called, though?
It's on Prime, I believe. Prime.
What's it called?
February 1st, the Greensboro Four.
It's called February 1st?
February 1st, the Greensboro Four. Yeah. And it lasted all the way through, I think, July 26th or something. It was just unbelievable. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Dude, take the L, Whitey.
In 1960?
Take the L, Whitey?
Oh. You think in 1960 they were used to taking L's?
No.
They didn't take L's. That's why it took so long.
Yeah.
They weren't about taking L's from
black
people.
That was a long L, though. Come on.
Well.
I mean, goodness gracious, drag that on. It was going to be an L. Just take it.
Well, I don't think they thought it was going to be an L. They thought at some point these kids would relent or something would come along that would make them leave. Nah.
I'm with Lance. This weather sucks. I work at a hot warehouse where I use two shirts because they get so soaked. I got to play golf in this.
Man.
Roland. Yeah,
exactly the same.
Feel for me, road dog.
They're the same thing.
Okay.
He works, and you have to play golf. They're the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing.
And don't you get a lot of circulation because you're outside while he's
warehouse? Oh, what if there's no wind? Then you're like,
it's still fresh. I thought you – and aren't you at the highest elevations in the city anyway? So isn't
a lot
it
of times,
less
man.
Hot?
No, but you're closer to the sun. That's the trade-off.
Closer to the sun, huh?
Yeah. Right. And if you go down there, you're closer to the equator and the sun.
I just feel like Roland works in a warehouse to make a living.
I'm like, Jeeves, come, so Schneider, come change my light and come fix this computer thing. I've got to get to the course and sweat in this shirt. Roland's in this, hey, where do we put all these boxes? It's so hot. I've got to do some roofing. You know, Solis and I were thinking of the worst possible jobs. Roofers, because summer is a busy time. You get up on roofs which are already extraordinarily hot, but you have to wear more clothes to protect you. Like, you know what? Everyone else says, oh, you can just take, you know, just take peel some of the layers off. Just go down to a T-shirt. No.
And burn by the sun.
I actually have to wear a hat, a towel around my neck, and
you have
long
to cover
sleeve,
up everything.
Boots. Roofing.
The worst jobs.
Sports talk hosts are hard.
No, the hardest jobs in America.
They can't be, Dell.
Which one was the worst? Is roofing below sports talk?
No, roofing's
harder. Okay. We're talking about hardest.
Roofing's harder than sports talk.
And sports talk is right next.
But below it is like.
Remember when we have to do the shows out at the golf course and do it outside? And you know what?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't look.
It's like we were roofing.
Yeah, sure. I once did half a show from a golf cart because. Of course, at the time, 1560 didn't have all the logistics worked out.
Technology broke down? So how did you do it from a golf cart?
Well, because they didn't have a table for us during the middle of the summer. And there's no table. And I was either going to have to stand in 100-degree weather and do it. Pass. So it was going to a volleyball tournament. They provided a golf cart for me. So I did half the show with all the equipment in the golf cart. And then because it's Houston, it rained torrentially. And the show had to end because, you know, that area had flooded. So
you weren't somewhere where you could. Wow.
We're outside doing a show.
That doesn't sound like it's. Yeah, but you couldn't pull up under something. It's not really. None of that sounds very feasible.
No. And I had to be connected and have electricity. Yeah. So, no, I just couldn't pull
up
under something.
Can we unplug, please?
Yeah. So I left because, you know, the equipment was flooding.
I am afraid of being electrocuted, obviously, from lightning. But also general electrocution. I'm always assuming like, so when the other day our air conditioner, our condenser was freezing up or whatever, and water was pouring down out of the drain pan. I don't know what was happening. I just know it was dripping out of my daughter's light socket. And I'm thinking, oh, water dripping out of a light socket. It's nothing to be worried about here. I should just let this keep happening, and I'm sure I won't get electrocuted here. A lightning's not going to get me. Electrocution is. Huh.
I think just electricity is going to
kill you. Because
you
guys wouldn't give me credit. If I got electrocuted, you wouldn't give me the credit I would deserve. Like, he was right. He did die from, you know, electrocution. Because a lightning strike would kill me with electrocution.
Well, you have been championing your death by lightning for
quite
a while.
Yeah, but would you give me credit if I got electrocuted?
No.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't even get credit for that.
Electrocution's not an act of God. That's not the same thing. That's just you being dumb.
Yeah, but it's still electrical. Like,
yeah,
I should get
lightning
credit.
Lightning is an act of God that kills you. You would do it yourself with electrocution. That's on you, buddy.
Well, he was in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you did that.
I would at least want
you're
to
strike
say,
yourself with a lightning bolt. That's what you want to do.
You know what?
So
like,
that you get credit.
It's like place or show.
847 ESPN 97.5.
It's like win, play, show.
No,
electrocution's a show bet.
What a bet?
Lightning is
what's,
a win
what's
bet.
Place?
All right, electrocution's a place bet.
Right. And just a shock when you walk with your socks on the floor, that's a show.
Well, you don't die from static shock.
Oh. Well, but I mean, you could get electrocuted and not die. All right, so all that right. Would be a
show
place.
Bet would be a show bet would be if something electrical like fell on me and killed me. Kind of electricity got me. Kind of something with electricity
your
running
air conditioning
through
it. Fell through the roof.
Yeah. Fell on you.
Fell on you. Okay.
It's a show bet.
That's it. That's it. 8:48.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:50 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you missed it, I think we did. We broke the story about the new minor league teams that are going to be here in Sugar Land. Kevin Zlotnick was on with us and explained four-team league at Constellation Field. So that's going to be great. Four teams. You know, 900 minor league players were released by Major League Baseball teams. So they're out there and already Inky, Pete and Cavilla is gathering players and signing players to deals to come and play here in a four-team, 28-game league. That'll start July 3rd. So we got that going on. We broke that story earlier today. Mike D'Antoni, we talked about your Houston Rockets and rotation, and he's going to expand it. He expounded a little bit more on that. So that will be good when that starts up July 31st, right?
And we've got another Houston team that will be back in action earlier.
The Dynamo.
The Dynamo, July 8th. The MLS's back tournament. Not a great name, but it is what it is. We'll start July 8th down in Orlando. It'll be a World Cup style tournament. Games will count towards the regular season because MLS would like to finish their regular season. But if you win it, you have an automatic spot in the CONCACAF Champions League. There are bonuses for performance for the team, and you'll have group stages. You'll have, I think, 54 games over 35 days. So there will be something at the beginning of July to look forward to.
54 games by the league.
54 actual games in the tournament, yes.
Yeah.
Over 35.
How many games will the Dynamo play?
Well,
how many each team?
Well, you have the group stage, and then if you advance,
I got you.
Yeah, so it depends on how. I think there's six team groups. Six groups, I think.
What are they calling it?
The MLS is back tournament. Not very creative, but whatever.
Yeah.
So that'll begin
it's
July.
The MLS IBT. What they're officially calling it. MLS IBT.
Did you make that up?
Well, it's what they're saying.
Who is they?
Who's IBT?
Sounds like an irritable bowel thing.
That's what they're saying.
They're not saying that.
People are saying that.
It's called the MLS's back tournament.
People are saying.
People,
that's what they're saying.
You are saying that.
That's what people are saying it right now. MLS IBT. I don't know.
There are no people.
That's what they're saying.
Alonzo Highsmith made Pro Football Talk this morning.
What for?
The Seahawks have hired him as a full-time member of their scouting department.
Oh, it took a little while.
Yeah.
To get in.
They brought him on as a consultant. They couldn't hire him earlier this season after the Browns fired him as vice president. He spent 2 years with the Brown, and he worked for the Packers. He worked for the Packers longer than 6 years. They got 6 years. I think he was there 16.
Probably 16.
16 years, yeah. Congratulations to Zoe. He really was. The other day, he came over and he was like, man, white people are awesome now. he goes, I went into a donut shop this morning. I ordered a donut and a coffee. And the woman goes, here, you have it. No, you have it. Just take it. And he was like, people are giving stuff away now. That's awesome.
Do I get a free cell phone? Because I was told Obama would give me that. But are white people going to give me that now?
White people are giving you that.
AT&T's not giving you a free phone.
Free phone.
But what if I walk in? Anything like if I walk into the T-Mobile store, they're not just going to say, here, we've taken care of your payments?
Yeah. No. Would you like a donut?
You get, not get a donut.
Not if it's glazed. No, I don't want your donut.
Well, you can. You get to pick it.
Oh, cake donuts.
Because he was going to pay for it, and she said free. No.
Cake donuts cake aren't donut. Free.
So where was he again?
Cake. He was, I don't know which. You want to go to that donut? I don't know.
I just want to see. Yeah, if it works for everybody who walks in there.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm sorry. Black Lives Matter.
Well, here. But.
Ooh, what if.
That's you a, could be ooh. Like, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being an ally. Yeah. Just go in every day.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh. yeah. Yeah. So that was funny.
Is this what Alonzo said?
Yeah. So we were like, Joe, if we can't get a table at a restaurant, you go in. Wow. What? I see a lot of white people eating here.
I can't get a table.
I can't get a table here.
People said things would change. Nothing changed.
Yeah. That's
Big Dobbs is hitting me with more information that I didn't know.
Hmm.
He said, since you guys are discussing Black Wall Street, here's an interesting fact for you. In the name of the group, the Gap Band, I know Gap Band, Burn Rubber on Me, Party Train, just... They were the jam in the 80s. The letters stand for three streets in historic Greenwood District of Oklahoma where the Black Wall Street was. I had no idea. Outstanding. Is that what you're playing on standing now? The Gap Band. You can just put that on Spotify and just let it roll. Gap Band, a lot of hits. And Charlie Wilson shows up on a lot of different, as a feature on a lot of different songs as well. So Charlie Wilson's still around doing it. No, it's not for you. Tori says, no, the Delt, not for Delt. Zoe is a big black man. He gets
it. Yeah.
Tori says, no, it's not Delt. You may not Zoe's get the free large. Donut.
Yeah, he's a former football player. No,
Zoe's and a boxer.
Yeah, Zoe's a big dude. But I would just say, I don't think height and stature should matter.
Especially if you have your phone. Look, just come in there like this. Hello, I would like to order.
Yeah.
Somebody's filming me. Oh, but you can't see. I've got my film.
How much is that donut and coffee going to be?
Yeah. How much?
I heard.
I'm an ally.
Are you pitting? I would say, I can't get a donut. Are you pitting black people against each other? is that what you're doing? I don't think you want to do that.
Mm-mm. You're the problem. You're not the solution.
Yeah, clearly.
713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
When we come back, I've got some odds for you that I think you're going to like.
Oh, yeah?
New good. Odds. New good, odds good, good. That I think you'll like.
Good, 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 good. I want some odds. I want good odds that I can make
like,
money
here's
on.
Here's one that I always like saying, like, what are the odds that John Clay Wolf will say something that makes you
uncomfortable.
Nervous, scared, or uncomfortable?
Yeah. Oh,
probably good.
Really good. Yeah. I don't think you're going to get big odds on that. John Clay Wolf joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. Hey, John Clay Wolf.
Good morning, Granato. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Give me the VIN.com. I'm not doing as well as you are because this is a great market for car buying.
It actually, for some reason, turned into one all of a sudden. We had the biggest day. Remember when I talked to you about the auction last week and we were going into it? It turned out it was the biggest day we've ever had. So... when we start making more money, we just start paying more money for cars so that we can keep getting the, you know, market bought at the top of the market. Our whole pitch is that, yes, we're wholesale buyers, but we're buying at the top of the wholesale market, and that's why we guarantee to beat the hell out of our competitors. I didn't need to put that the hell out of. That was kind of...
But that, I think we got the point.
All right. To beat the pee out of our competitors and... we'd give a $100 bill if we don't beat a CarMax offer. So anyway, we're paying a lot for cars. You know, Ford trucks and Chevy trucks, GM trucks, like a 13 GM crew cab with 120 on it, or Chevy. That car's bringing way more than it should all of a sudden. I don't know if it's a... No, I got to watch that too, those little racial... You know how I think I'm kind of... You know how my shtick has race comedy in it?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to fly anymore for a while, but...
No, John Clay, well, read the room. That's right. Read the room. I like it.
So I'm getting old.
In other words, give me the VIN.com and get more for your car. If you can't beat CarMax, he's going to give you $100 at give me the VIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.